Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to the first Runner's World podcast of 2021 with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Today we're looking at why 2021 is going to be the year of the runner. How you doing, guys? You alright?
Yeah, alright.
Okay.
Fine.
Trying not to bum the audience out with tier 5. It's here.
Well, on that note, we sort of held off recording yesterday because there was the announcement coming and we thought we'd try and be as relevant as possible with this. So for anyone listening, Tier 5 kicks in tomorrow, Wednesday the 6th of January in England. It's already in place. Well, the different levels are already in place. Northern Ireland had new rules put in on the 26th and Wales is now at Alert 5, I think it's called. Alert 4? Can't remember. But anyway, just a sort of quick update. The real hot takeaway from Tier 5 is that we're just kind of back to how it was March last year, lockdown 1. Mm. That's the sort of level that I'm talking about now when it comes to what you're allowed to do. The biggest changes being that you're only permitted now to go outside the once for your exercise per day, which was kind of like first time round, it kind of got a bit like, oh, you can do it more often, but now it's once a day and it's local. So no, you know, going further afield and exploring more. So stay safe, stay local. That's the sort of messaging when it comes to exercise. There's all sort of other reasonable excuses to go outside and everyone go and check out the government website for that sort of stuff. But relating to running, yeah, it's kind of as it was at the beginning now. We're back to that point. And that's kind of it. You're allowed to run with one other person from another household or from your support bubble or your household. So that's it. So no more group runs. No, none of that stuff's happening. So basically, go solo, stay local, stay safe. I was trying to think of like a catchy, you know.
That's your version of kind of like a... hands, face,
wash
space.
Your hands, wash your face. Yeah, exactly.
Very good, Ben. Yeah, you should get you on the kind of advisor panel with the government.
Yeah, I like that.
No, thank you.
So I want to provide a little bit of balance to that kind of fairly depressing news about Tier 5 rules. So there's obviously the job market is incredibly challenging at the minute, and this piece of research doesn't change that, but it does offer a little glimmer of hope, I think, to runners. So new research suggests that mentioning athletics, so in our case running, on your CV improves your job prospects by 20%, which is quite a lot, isn't it? It's according to a survey by golfsupport.com, who approached 548 UK companies from 14 sectors, asking managers to analyse the CVs of recent hires from the past year and totalling how many times a sport was mentioned. So athletics was mentioned a lot by people who ended up getting the job. And this is, you know, this, I guess, bolsters other studies that have shown that runners are very productive employees and take less sick days than non-running colleagues. So all in all, people should be hiring runners because we're just great people. And
I don't know though, because
so there you go, bit of life.
I understand on the CV, but I mean, we've talked about how we work in a little bubble, to use that now wonderfully common phrase. But the lone runner in an office of non-runners it's not the talking to friends who are in that position. Their chat when they bring up running and everyone else goes, oh god, he's talking about running again. That makes me feel like, you know, well, perhaps not mentioning it too much is the key. Put it on the CV, but don't be the guy who just talks about running all the time.
There's a balance, isn't it? It's a balance, as with all things. So I was thinking, as this is the first podcast of 2021, that we could first look back at 2020, which is obviously a bizarre year for everyone, and also a bizarre year for running, I guess, and maybe pick out one highlight that we had. So I'll start by saying that I thought the FKTs, the fastest known times that were being done by runners in absence of official races, were made for thrilling viewing, I guess, if you can call it that. And some real highlights being Damien Hall doing the Pennine Way record, which obviously we covered on the website, and Dan Lawson doing the John O'Groats to Land's End record as well, which there's a video that's come out about that, and it's just insane the levels to which he's had to push himself to complete that. But yeah, I thought it reflected well on runners that we said, you know, all right, there are no official races, but this isn't the end of the kind of extravagant running challenge. We're going to find ways around it, and I think that for me was one of the highlights of 2020.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to go with the growth of running, and by that I mean that from probably a year that was the hardest for many, running had a little bit of a resurgence, or found a new audience who needed something to do that would make them feel better about the world. And I feel like that is it's only from the circumstances being so dire that kind of came about. So, you know, we've talked about it. It was the silver lining, but I think that definitely, as the whole year went by, became a real highlight for me in terms of the conversations I had with people who'd found running and the pluses that they'd got from it and taken away from it, and how it helped them through lockdown, and how now actually that it had gone beyond just the thing that they did in lockdown and it was just running. And that was great. Like that for me was a real highlight from the year.
I think for me it was the virtual London Marathon. I think the London Marathon, it makes me cry every year, whether I'm running in it or watching it or doing a London Marathon podcast and awkwardly crying in front of my colleagues. I think it's just, there's just something magic about it. And I was so, I knew I wasn't meant to be running it last year. Yeah, just about. I just thought it was magic. I thought it wasn't really like, yes, it was about the elite and it gave us all something to watch on telly. But just, you know, going on a run and seeing people out there doing it on an awful day in the rain, and it still kind of had that spirit. And I think that, I don't know, I found that really special. I don't know whether the people that ran 26.2 miles in the rain alone feel the same, but I mean, serious kudos to them. But yeah, I think, I don't know, I think events will come back, but I quite liked, I'm not a big virtual racing fan. I'm not good when I don't have people there around me. But I think, I don't know, I think, yeah, you know, the fastest known times are great, beginners are great, but I think for those everyday runners who took on a marathon on their own, I'm just in awe of them. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I think it shows a real kind of desire to do it, doesn't it, and a kind of resilience, like, I'm going to do this marathon even without the crowd support and all those kind of nice parts of a race day.
Yeah, and without the expo and without the, what is that music they play when you walk into the expo? Honestly, I might cry. What is that music? Like, it's just all so magic, and all of that was gone and people still did it. I'm just like, you know, good for them. Like, I hope for, hopefully we'll be back at races later in the year, but I mean, what a story to have to tell. Like, I did my first marathon in the rain on my own in a pandemic. Like, what a great tale.
Every other marathon after that will be so much easier as well.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, you can go and do the hilliest marathon in the world and you'll have people cheering you on and you'll be like, this is easier than doing that 25 laps of Battersea Park that I did on my own.
All right, let's look forward then to 2021 and maybe talk about personal goals. So I've got this goal where I think I was always previously someone who's like, I've got to do like quite high intensity running, and maybe not as a result, not never really as frequently as I might. But I'm trying to change that a little bit in 2021. So I'm trying to run five times a week, at least five times a week, sometimes six. I've never really been as frequent as that. But I think if lots of those runs are kind of easy and a bit of fun, you can find a way to up the frequency of running. So I'm going to try and do that. Yeah, at least five times a week.
But are you lowering your volume? Are you going to treat, because you're quite a fast guy, so I mean, then you'd always go for like, oh, I just casually, like last year you're like casually doing 20 miles and stuff like that. So you're going to sort of just go and do 3 miles and slowly and be happy with that?
Yeah, so I guess the midweek run will be, that'll literally just be round the local park, trying to do it on the grass, like in being
like
inspired by the Ethiopian way of doing things and avoiding the tarmac. So it's pretty slow as almost inevitably, because I'm just sort of splashing around in the mud half the time. And that's, yeah, I'm going to go out for like 45 minutes and maybe that's going to be like 4 miles, you know, 4 miles every day of the week, and then something longer on the weekend. Yeah.
So much washing, Rick. So much washing.
There's so much washing. When you get like a Christmas present that's kind of a hint. Like I remember when I was about 15, I got a lot of deodorant for Christmas,
oh,
and I was a bit
terrible.
Like, I get it, guys. Like, look. But my wife got me the Boot Buddy, which is basically, you know, like,
I want a Boot Buddy. Is it good?
It's really good, actually. Yeah, they're like,
that was the only thing I had on my list, and no one got it for me.
Jane, honestly. So this Boot Buddy is, if you weren't on the Dragon's Den episode, it's basically, yeah, it cleans. It's meant to clean sort of football boots, but it can clean any kind of mud off any kind of outdoor shoe. And so I've been making a point of, I clean the shoes as soon as I get in. It's almost like part of the ritual. So they're not, so I'm not traipsing mud around.
So down for this chat. This is not sponsored by Boot Buddy, but it should be. What a great invention.
No, great invention. And I'm just out there in the garden, just kind of washing the shoes. It feels like a nice end to the... It's quite cold, actually, so I'm doing it quite quickly. But anyway, so that's me. So, Ben, what about you? What do you want to do 2021 in running?
I've kind of got some things that I need to figure out in regards to, like, injury, which aren't causing me that many problems, but I don't want to make it any worse. And with lockdown, again, obviously hospital appointments and seeing professionals and all that sort of stuff kind of fell at the wayside last year. So I was just sort of maintaining, and I'm kind of bored of maintaining. So I just want to kind of like either do something radical or just kind of, I don't know, just sort of change it up. But I'm feeling pretty good about the year. I quite like, you know, I'm not quite sure. I haven't got any goals, but I think that more time in the forest, which is easy because it's close, and I really enjoy just running around in the mud. And then,
yeah,
I don't know, really. Maybe something fast. Maybe just trying, because that always...
I like that, yeah. Yeah, it's quite easy to not to avoid or just overlook the shorter, sharper distances, but maybe the mile.
Yeah, the mile's really is good. So maybe I could just do a bit of mile work. That would be quite nice. But yeah, I mean... The rest of it will just as keep enjoying it, much like you, Rick. I think that, you know, just keep taking fun and joy from running will be the main aim of the year.
I don't know really what I've tried to think, because I think every time I kind of pin my hopes on doing a race, they get taken away from me. So I don't want to do that. But I think I've you know, said on the podcast last year in the midst of the pandemic that actually I'm not really a race orientated person. I actually prefer the training without the like ticking time bomb of 10 weeks ago, 9 weeks ago. That's a bit I can't bear. That's a bit that stresses me out. So I think hopefully there'll be some races, you know, in October. But for now, just to kind of carry on, I'm joining the lockdown puppy club. So I'm hoping to train a puppy to run with me. So that's probably my lockdown goal. I don't want to sit here and say I'm going to run a PB in a marathon, because I don't think any of us can say that just yet. Hopefully we will, but you know, I think goals have to kind of be achievable, and I don't know if races will be back as we know them, but I don't want to be, that's really doom and gloom for a January podcast.
No, I think that's good advice, Jane, actually, like to make
a slice of realism.
Yeah, and maybe to make your goals for 2021 non-event specific, right? So I guess
then,
like,
if they happen, great. Like, if you know, we've all been vaccinated by June and we can all start training for marathons, amazing. But if we're not there, you don't have that kind of disappointment. So, I'm going to say 2021 goal is to train a dog to run with me. So that will be the 2021 goal. And I guess to fit running in around a puppy. So we'll see. Watch this space.
So I've been working on this piece for the website, which I'm hoping it will be live actually by the time this comes out, or certainly soon after. And it's one that you suggested, Ben. It's about 21 reasons to run in 2021. See what we've done there.
Well, yeah,
it's seamless, isn't it? It's,
mate, guess what's happening in 2022?
Oh, I can't think. It's amazing. I don't think we should go through all 21 reasons. I think our listeners, they're very loyal. They've got good attention spans, but I'm not sure everyone needs all 21 reasons. But maybe I could pick out, or maybe we could all pick out, you know, one or two. Don't necessarily have to be from the list, actually. Just good motivational reasons for, you know, taking up running or continuing to run.
Can I? I'll bang the same drum as last year then, and it sort of relates back to what I said about my highlight from the year being that running is offering a moment of peace and control that people probably feel like they won't be getting with lockdown. So I'm going to say the reasons why people should run in 2021 is because it is self-propelled moments of distraction, which you will learn to love. And I think that's definitely one reason why you should do it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I mean, for me, it's I'm always banging the mental health drum, but Ben kind of just took that from me. So I'll let Ben have that.
Oh, sorry.
I would say that running, unlike, I don't know, for me, it's yoga. I could do yoga every day of the week. I still won't be able to do a crow. I just can't. I feel like I don't get that much better at it. Whereas running, I think if you do even a couch to 5K plan in 12 weeks, you can go from not running at all to being able to run a 5K. And that's amazing. Like, I think it is something that you can really see progress in. And I think that in a pandemic when we can't see progress in a lot of things because we can't leave the house and do anything, I think having those little things you can tick off really helps you. I feel better about yourself, and then you can look and be like, oh, 12 weeks ago I couldn't do this at all. And if you're not a beginner, I think, you know, if you really stick to a plan, you see improvements. Even if it's not getting quicker, it could be feeling better, like getting to mile two or getting to, I don't know, that side of the park and being like, oh, I'm not as out of breath as I was. So I think, yeah, running has, like, it's a way you can really see improvements quickly, I think, as a rambling, what I'm trying to say in a lot of words.
I think that's really true. I'm going to say that it can make you happier, and there are various surveys that are kind of backing this up. I know there was one on parkrunners that said that 89% of people who did parkrun said it made them feel happier. But I think that's really true. And I think, there are real threats to our happiness this year, aren't there? With, the kind of oppressive nature of the pandemic, the restrictions we've talked about at the top of the show, obviously the economic ramifications of COVID. But something simple like running that we're still allowed to do, and I don't see that being taken away from us, even if restrictions were to get even tighter. It's such a simple thing to do, so easy. It's completely kind of self-created form of therapy and happiness that I think can surprise people if they haven't tried running already. Actually, it can really, like, make you feel noticeably happier. So that would be my one, I reckon. What wonderful reasons we gave. What wise people we are here on the Runner's World podcast.
We're so smart.
I think we all just said the same thing, but I think...
versions of the same thing, yeah.
But that's because that's the most important thing about running at the moment, so that's fine.
It's also, it's not bad for your knees. Someone should have said that.
Yeah.
It is not bad for your knees. No, no. And as someone who has bad knees, it's not running. It's, you know, it's just my body. So, you know, I will die on that hill. As a man with bad knees who likes running, it's not running. But I think that, because we mentioned sort of like people starting running during lockdown, but beginning running is actually quite a daunting thing. So maybe we should offer up some other pearls of wisdom from a beginner's point of view. In terms of advice that maybe
yes,
we would want to
like
pass
it.
On.
Yes.
So you, Rick, what would you say to a beginner?
So this is going to sound a bit, I think this is a bit mundane actually, after our fairly kind of, you know, running makes you happier, big chat. But this is just based on my own experience. But I think that for the first couple of years when I was running, I wanted to run more than my body would allow me to. And I think some of that was because I just didn't have any of the kind of conditioning that was required to run free of injury, really. So I wish that I had known a bit more about strength and conditioning and taken that side of things seriously. I don't think the strength and conditioning has to take up much time, because I think that can be such a barrier for people to like, look, I'm already making time to run. What are you saying? I have to do half an hour every day of like plank or on the Swiss ball, whatever. But I think actually we have got some good resource on our website. I'm not just saying that. I do think there's some good strength and conditioning stuff and lots of easy things to Google about, you know, running specific strength and conditioning. Lots of like single leg exercises I found have made a big difference. And for me, it's not about like getting physically or visibly strong. It's actually just about like what's the minimum I need to do to keep on running regularly, because it makes me really happy to run. So I would say that to people, if because I also think the first couple of years of running are the ones where you're most plagued by injury, just because it's new to your body. So just if you could just invest in a little of the right strength and conditioning, I think it's going to keep you running and keep you happy. So that's my advice.
20 calf raises when you're brushing your teeth.
I just love the idea of you planking for half an hour. Is that a world record?
Rick's that guy.
Isn't the world record? Sorry, the world record is absolutely nuts, isn't it? It's like it's something like it's like 8 hours or something.
That's like a whole episode of Friends holding a plank. What the hell?
Yeah, I lost a lot of friends during those years. I don't know what happened.
There was a study on this that the optimum, beyond a certain amount of time, which is about a minute, not even that, maybe, it might have been like 30 seconds, a plank is kind of not doing anything else. There's like, it needs to be that you do, it's frequency and like, it's on the site, I think, actually. I'll dig it up and put it in the description.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's not like the longer the better the plank, is it?
No.
It's like a sort of...
Yeah.
So for anyone who's new to planking, this is the planking podcast. Anyone who's new to planking, it's all about doing it. It's not, you don't have to do it for ages, so it's fine.
Stop holding it for half an hour.
Yeah.
Little bursts of 2 minutes.
Right. Jane, what would be your advice then?
I'm really torn. I've got two, so I'm going to go for two. And if Ben says one, you can edit me out. I think my first one would be, I think when I was a beginner, I would go out the door and I would sprint as fast as I possibly could. And then I'd stop and I'd be like, oh my God, running so hard, I can't breathe. And it was like, now I look back and I think, yeah, because I was sprinting. So you get that horrible kind of, you know, when your chest is like, and you can't breathe. I'm literally describing how we breathe. What a boring podcast. So yeah, I would say run, walk. Like I wish I'd started running by run walking, because it's so sensible and it breaks up the running into achievable bursts, and you start to learn, because an easy pace is a hard thing to learn what your natural pace is. And I think one of the reasons I think people hate running is because they, well, I'm guessing they won't be listening to this podcast, but because they've tried to go too fast too quick. And my second bit of advice would be getting your kit right. At this time of year, it's cold and you don't want to, you know, I've seen people running in like full on like barber jackets and I'm like, whoa, probably not. And
that's
then I've
Clapham.
Seen people,
that's
people,
just,
that's just people in Clapham. And then I've seen people running in like a vest top and I'm like, oh my God, I'm worried for your health. So I'd say like, we've got some good articles about layering on the site, wear lots of layers. If you've got a little kind of backpack or something that you can carry your layers in, so you're not ending up tying all these clothes around your waist, and just kind of, yeah, get I would invest in some kit that's going to kind of help you, because when you get out the door and it's, you're kind of either really hot or really cold, it does, the run's not fun if you're kind of trying to deal with your temperature. And that's where this lockdown, I guess, is different to last spring, where the weather was a lot milder. Like, this is a hard time of year to motivate yourself to get out, even when you love running. So yeah, I'd say have a look at the website, have a look at the sales, and get some kit that is gonna keep you kind of feeling okay and not getting, you know, please don't run in a vest top when it's 1 degrees.
And also stuff that you think looks good, because if you feel like you look good, then you're going to really like it. Changes the whole thing. If you feel like you look weird and it's, you're uncomfortable and you don't like the shape of your top, or you don't like the cut, do you know what I mean? You'll feel awkward. Whereas if you go out going, I look really good, I am going to fly along, then you're great. You just relax into it.
You are the person running in a barber jacket and I've thrown shade on you. Maybe they were chasing a dog, or, I don't know, in a hurry. Maybe they weren't actually out for a run, but I was like, I'm concerned. What are you doing? So, yeah. Sorry if that's you.
I've seen a lot of gloveless runners the last week. It's been cold the last week, so, wasn't it? But like,
yeah.
I'd say one piece of kit, like, you could probably get by without a hat, actually, if you have to. Like, but put some gloves on. Definitely put some gloves on.
I'd say gloves and a snood or a buff. Something for your neck and something for your hands.
Yeah.
Because you can, those are the two bits. If you cover them up, you kind of, like, the rest of your body kind of looks after itself, I reckon. My piece of advice. I would say embrace being a beginner.
Oh, that's a good one.
Beginner comes with like a sort of stamp of a noob. You're kind of like, you're not there yet. I don't know. No one. It's kind of like a term that's slightly derogatory in many ways. If you think about like running, like, oh, you're just a beginner. I've been running for so and so long. But first of all, everyone was always a beginner. Everyone. I still actually consider myself to be a beginner. Whenever I start, like, I went running at the start of the year. I haven't run for a little bit. I felt like a beginner, and I was fine with that. I don't feel like anyone needs to be on race form constantly. Anyone who takes on an actual training block. You know, when you build up and you build down again, the right at the bottom when you're starting again, you're basically being a beginner. Yeah, you've got like a, you know, a back catalogue of medals and you're, you know, you know what you're doing and you know the process, and you'll be very familiar with how your body will react, which is all stuff that beginners won't have. But at the same time, you go through the same process of building your running back up again. That is exactly what every single beginner does every single time. So I'm kind of like just embracing being a beginner, because it's not a bad thing to be. I think everyone, you learn so much when you're a beginner that it kind of sees you in good stead to just be like, I don't understand that. What does it mean? I'm going to learn about it. I'm going to try this. I'll try that. Don't just sort of feel like, oh, I'm going to just be worried that I'm going to do it wrong, because you will do it wrong. And then you'll realize that, you know, you don't like that type of running, or you want to do more of the other type of running. So I just think like being a beginner is just actually something to be enjoyed, not to be sort of worried about.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm quite actually in some ways quite envious of people who are getting into running, because I think if I look back at the stage of running that I enjoyed the most, it was probably the early years, actually, because everything was new. You do improve quickly, as Jane was saying. And it's a bit like, you know, the early stages of other things, like, you know, relationships, whatever, where everything's kind of exciting and you're kind of, it's really like, yeah, you're thinking about it all the time. That was what it was like for me. And I'm quite envious of people who are taking their early steps into it, because I kind of know what awaits them, and actually, you know, how much they may be able to get from this activity. So I think it can actually be something to be really, excited about.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think I do not like trail running. I've given it a go time and time again, and I run staring at my feet waiting to break an ankle. It's just not for me. It's literally not for me. I wish I could, you know, I've listened to so many people talk about trail running when they, you know, look at the nature and blah, blah, blah. I get it, but it's not for me. I'd rather go for a walk in nature. So that's fine. Like, you know, you could try, like Ben says, you can try going on a trail run and think, didn't enjoy that much. I'd rather stick to my local park. And that's absolutely, you know, treadmill running, still hate it, wish I could love it, but still not for me. So it's kind of like, I guess it's working out your thing. And if you're one of the lucky people that can go trail running and not worry about breaking an ankle, I'm envious of you too. So we have tried loads of different things, I guess. And this is a good time to do it because you're not having to worry about the commute, and, you know, you can hopefully drive somewhere locally and explore new trails. And
yeah, I think that's really good, Jane. Yeah, you don't have to be like all things to all people as a runner, do you? Actually, it's a broad church, and you can say this aspect of running is the bit that I like, and actually the rest of it, you know, is not my cup of tea. Fair enough.
Yeah, because don't treat a marathon as the one benchmark that you're aiming for.
No, because whenever you talk to anyone really good at running, they say, "Oh, what distance are you?" And I'm always like, "All of them. I don't know." You know, what distance do I feel like doing today? I'll do a marathon and then I'll worry about a 5K for a bit.
I once asked a guy. I was I think it was on the North Downs Way somewhere, and it was just a random bloke I started running with, and he was a runner who really enjoyed telling me about his running and his PBs. They're out there, these people. I'm probably one of them myself.
100%.
I asked that question. I said, "What's your what do you think your best or your favourite distance is?" And he was like, "It's probably a 20 miler, probably the 20 mile race." It's like, that's not really a distance. That's like that's what you do if you're training for a marathon. These events are like made specifically for the marathon. I'm not sure you can 20 mile specialist. It's quite weird. Anyway.
If you ever talk to a runner and the first thing that they do is ask you your favourite distance or talk about PBs or anything like that, just don't take that as like the standard issue response from all runners. Like, there are people out there who will just talk to you about running for the love of it. So don't just be put off if someone just goes, "Oh, you're a runner. What's your marathon PB?" Because it doesn't matter. So, you know, just go, I haven't done a marathon. They're mental. That's my standpoint. So, you know, just enjoy that one. But I'm just, you know, I think just, you know, embrace being a beginner.
I think that's good. Yeah, it'd be nice to hear from our listeners about maybe the best lessons they've learned or advice that they give. Our emails are open, podcast@runnersworld.co.uk. So that brings us to the end of this week's Runners World podcast. Let us know what you think, podcast@runnersworld.co.uk. And thanks again for listening.
You can still subscribe to Runners World magazine today and get 3 issues for only £5. Visit hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to get this exclusive listener offer. The Runners World podcast is available on Acast, iTunes and all of your favourite podcast apps. Please like it, subscribe to it, do whatever you want to do, tell your mum about it. Thanks again for listening and we will see you next week.
Okay, I have 2 new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.